The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
105, Chiellini, you know, The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Beautiful place we're at as well, Cherokee Rose Barbecue Bar and Kitchen. Domino, you've really settled into that couch. I must tell you, after eating the burger and fries, you look like you're ready for a nice nap.
What a combination. Allergies, a bad back, and a burger that big. And a soft leather couch. I'm not kidding. There's a soft leather couch when you walk in the door here. Like, we're in a little area. What would we call this?
It's like, that's like a lounge.
If you're going to have a drink.
Yeah.
In the old days, we would be having a drink, so shame on us. But I am so comfortable right now. I don't think I'm doing the handoff. I might not even do the last 30 minutes.
You're just going to leave or just
yeah.
If Domino falls asleep and you hear snoring, I apologize. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. The Braves find yet another way to win. It's always something down there at Truist Park for all the right reasons. We'll talk more baseball in about 15 minutes.
The college football voice of the South is going on campus. Presented by Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth. Or shop online at SubaruofGwinnett.com.
So we found out this morning that Jaden Rashada is going to be transferring to Georgia. He's got 4 years of eligibility left. We saw the picture of himself standing there at Sanford Stadium as he was on campus, a couple of days ago. And now he is going to play at Georgia. I thought maybe elsewhere because he was going to get a shot to start elsewhere, but with 4 years of eligibility remaining and probably a nice little chunk of change in his pocket via NIL, Kirby gets his fourth quarterback, his fourth scholarship quarterback that he wanted.
I'm assuming you're like me where if I ask you, do you think he really spends 4 years at the University of Georgia?
No.
I couldn't bet yes. I'm not telling you he doesn't intend to, but there's not a high-level quarterback that I would say, oh, yeah, that guy, 4 years there, going to walk down, get his degree, and move on to the NFL.
I mean, what quarterback really stays
right
at Georgia for the most part? From what I understand, we're working on getting JT Daniels
next week.
Join us next week, so case in point.
Yeah,
got everybody thought he was the savior until he wasn't. We also thought that Christian Miller, defensive lineman, was going to transfer. In fact, the news did come out yesterday that he entered the transfer portal. And then today, he said he changed his mind. He is going to stay at Georgia. So you've got three players now that went into the portal yet stayed at Georgia. Julio Humphrey, the corner. Daniel Harris, another corner. And now Christian Miller. And this is kind of big because he's being counted on to be a major part of what's going on this revamped defensive line at Georgia.
Why do you think he went in?
I don't know.
Like, was he hoping that he got an offer he couldn't refuse? Or was it to let people know that he's open for business to come back to Georgia? He wasn't in there that long. Like,
no.
This is a short period. What was this one, a 15-day? Something like that?
April 16th through the 30th.
Yeah.
So it's still open. He can still change his mind. He's got five more days. But as of right now, he is he is staying put. So third player to enter the portal this spring, Andrew Paul, Tyler Williams. Williams made the announcement that he is going to Minnesota on Tuesday. So he is definitely gone, but it looks like Miller is going to stay. Greg Sankey spoke to the media, the SEC commissioner, yesterday, and he did dismiss any interest in engaging in conversations about this Super League that everybody has been talking about in college athletics. Listen, he doesn't have to say anything
now.
Everybody's going to come to him. Everybody's going to pitch him. He doesn't have to pitch anybody. That's the beauty of being the Big Ten or the SEC commissioner.
And he could do it in a way that doesn't feel like he's running from it. Oh, I'm not telling you he's all shucks in it, but this is how you could do it, huh? You know, I'm not really here to talk about that today.
He pulled the old, let's talk about what's going on
right. That's
good right now
right. In
sports. It's easy to say that when
no
you're
doubt.
The SEC commissioner.
Yeah, you know what you are? You're in the part of the castle that it's really hard to get to. You know who can't say stuff like this? That new woman Pac-12 commissioner. Even Jim Phillips. You know, you're in the castle, but you're sort of exposed. Somebody can get to you easily. What is it they do in a castle? They take your head off. They don't care that you're in charge.
So what's the year you brought up by 2030, 2031? We're going to have the
it's going to be
chasm, if you will.
It's going to be an NFL
version. Demarcation will be that year.
They're going to figure out how they're going to maximize the money, but it's going to be like an NFL version. There's going to be a wild card. There's going to be, I get a week off, you got to play. The only thing I hope they do, and I really mean this, tell me you as an Ohio State fan, every 2 years, if I mixed and matched who was in your wink-wink conference, because it's not a conference, I'm just going to change the opponents. You will get a home-and-home with everybody. 2 years later, there's a chance you're going to be playing Georgia. There's a chance you're going to be playing, I don't know, USC.
Listen, as a college football fan, to have Georgia come into the horseshoe or to go down to Athens, I mean, as a fan purely of the game, how do you not love that?
Texas will go to Michigan. It'll be an on-campus game. You don't have to wait for a bowl game. I hope that's the only thing they do, because for me as a college football fan, you can take away a lot. You can add a lot. But what you want to do is you want to compete with the NFL. You know what the NFL doesn't do? They don't do that. They don't do that. I know who I'm playing. I know who I'm playing six games a year. I can look in advance and know who I'm playing for years to come. I don't think that's great for the league. They're not going to change it now. But in college football, if I had a TV show that tells me, who's in my division for the next 2 years? I want to know. I want to know who I'm going to. What's my road trip going to be, and who's coming into my
group? Right, I have to ask a really stupid question.
Go ahead.
I was kind of thinking about this last night. So we're talking about the group of five over here.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about the power five.
Yes. You know, whatever
power four
it is,
in this instance over here.
Yeah.
Is there a way to have somebody that wins the group of five tournament,
play them
logistically, then if they win that tournament, they're a part of the big tournament? Is there any way that you could pull that off?
No, because it would happen to unless you start their season early.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want to play July football?
Logistically, you would have to make some changes.
Right.
I don't know if that's possible.
Here's what I'm also going to tell you. It's interesting that you would say you earned your way in, and that's great. I thought you were also going to say, though, but what about that champion plays the wink, wink, big boy champion? I'm not doing that.
No, that
I have
not
nothing to gain.
Because you won the championship already.
And I have nothing to gain.
I'm saying let them
be
a part of it. Maybe that's your motivation to play even harder.
If we're going to do relegation, what if you win that and you get a chance to play or remember I told you, if you finish last in your division 2 years in a row, what if we have the ability to send you out? And what if our ability to send you out gets one of those schools in? They might only be there for 2 years, but at least they'll be there. You can't have them chasing their tails. They don't have enough money. It's like that Lenny Dykstra thing that we saw with what's his name? What was that piece we saw with
Bernie Goldberg?
Okay. When you live in a house and it has no furniture, when you live in a house, you got a nice house, but your house poor. You don't have furniture.
What do you mean I'm poor? Here, what he pulls out a lot of like $2,000.
You can't be a building. Look at us. Look at our pretty buildings. Look at it. We have to spend how much money to compete in football? Your house poor. It's just not good business. Like, it's a bad look. I see the outside. Let me go on the inside. Wait, why don't you have a bed? Well, I couldn't afford it. No,
so
TV, couldn't afford it.
I guess I'm getting too cute when I talk about it.
No, but I like, I think
just
there might
kind of
be,
thinking out loud.
No, Nick, I think there might be a way to get them in. Because if you're bad consistently for a couple of years, why do you get to stay? Why do you get the 91% of the money? That's the big one. I think you have to aspire and then actually be good enough to stay. The NFL doesn't do it because you really can't go anyplace else in the world to get NFL teams in. You can stink for how long and still be an NFL team? You can stink for how long and still be the Pittsburgh Pirates? Nobody's asking you to leave. It's crazy. In college football, I think you have more of a chance to just go, guess what you are now? You're a have. Prove you're supposed to stay.
Auburn's passing game got a lot better. I thought they were going to get Jaden Rashada, but they didn't. They did get Keandre Lambert-Smith, Penn State's leading receiver, to go play for Hugh Freeze at Auburn. And, boy, he's going to get a lot of opportunities because he joins an Auburn offense that finished 121st nationally in passing last year and returns only one wide receiver with 10 or more receptions in 2023. So maybe it wasn't all that hard to sell him on opportunities.
Hey, Adam. Tell me if I'm maybe right about this, because, again, this is something that just hit me. Has there been anything more sporadic, schizophrenic than Auburn offense in college football? Because when they're good, when they were good, their highs in the last 20 years, 15, 16 years, were incredibly good. Yeah, you look like Iowa with those numbers.
Yeah, their last good was probably with Cam Newton, and they won a national championship. It was that good.
But then it's
fallen off.
No doubt. And I think there's even been a spurt or two since Cam. Now, again, you had to fire coaches. You had to do some things. But their offense being that sporadic, how do you go from being that good in a conference this good, and then all of a sudden you read like you're Iowa?
And again, buyer beware, because you get rid of Malzahn, and then you bring in Harsin, and much like Florida, you're chasing your tail, and now you have to get a guy like Hugh Freeze, and you're going to have to sink or swim now with Hugh Freeze. You can't keep shelling out money.
And I think they're going to swim. It's going to take a minute for him to get his feet under him. But I think they will become consistent on offense under him and become a better team and maybe get back to that level, unfortunately.
Can I ask a real question? You're the wrong person to ask. I don't want to use the word fear. Do you have an apprehension about anybody? Because Georgia is going to take a tick down. They just are, because that's the way it works.
Sooner or later, that's going to happen.
And it doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they turn into Auburn like this. But, Adam, who are you most, I'll use the word, wink, wink, afraid of coming to your door and really, if they challenge you to a fight, it's going to be a fight?
Well, I'm worried about a few teams. Now, look, this is maybe the little bit of a Larry Munson coming through in me, but I worry about most games. But right now, Lane Kiffin, I think if he gets hit, when he gets his offense rolling, especially we have to go to their place, we have to go to Texas this year, both of those schools. And maybe I'm off base here, but I'm not as worried about Alabama as I would be if Saban was still there.
Here's what I think. Texas is more dangerous for a year or two as DeBoer and everybody else figures out, hey, is DeBoer really meant for that job? Texas, the one that, if you're going to start slotting them, why does it feel like Texas might be the next?
I will say this. Lane Kiffin got back a running back that left and went to Miami and now came back. Lane Kiffin's got all of these hired guns.
He doesn't have to leave.
There's a guy that's taking advantage of everything when you talk about the new rules. And from being a social, wild, wild west around college
football.
And from
a social media point, he lets you know that I'm in on the joke, too.
Lane Kiffin was the one that worried me last year, too. Although Lane Kiffin, the next big game he wins will be his first. He's like the James Franklin of the SEC.
Oh.
I'm waiting for him to win that first big game. That's true.
Was he in a position? Yeah, he can roll,
but he doesn't beat good. He doesn't beat good teams.
Was he in the same position as Franklin at Penn State?
Yes.
You think so? I thought Franklin started with a head start. It's Penn State.
It's your Ole Miss.
Yeah,
you're getting all these transfers now, and what? How many years in a row? They got embarrassed by Georgia. They got embarrassed by Alabama. Hell, they seemingly get embarrassed by Alabama every year.
But nobody expected Ole Miss to be national power good. They really, the only time they did it is we know what they were doing. My point is Penn State in the Big Ten, I think, would have an easier place than Ole Miss in the SEC.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, the name Penn State probably got Franklin in the door more places than Ole Miss did at the time. But now I think that Lane has brought that up to them.
He's only had to beat two teams in Michigan and Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, only
in
two
Michigan,
teams.
Ohio State.
Those are two big teams. That's like saying, well, Lane, all you have to do is beat Nick Saban in Alabama.
No.
In LSU.
My point is, I thought Penn State, to not succeed at Penn State, Nick, in the vein that you're talking about, not being able to win a big game, I blame James Franklin.
Well, how about this?
At this point, with a head start over Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss.
Is it fair to put it this way? If not now, for Lane Kiffin.
Perfect.
If not now, is it ever going to happen?
Well, I think you're saying that for James, too, up in Penn State.
Doubt.
I'm surprised he's there right now as the head coach this year.
I mean, that guy, it's
and he's smug about it.
It's magnificent. He's like the Angel Hernandez of college football coaches. It's magnificent how he blows games.
But he seems smug about it. Like, what are you people talking about? Like, where are the problems?
Yeah. You don't understand. Well, I think I do. I think I got a pretty clear understanding of what's going on. So the state's four-year streak of at least one top five overall pick here in Georgia seems likely to end. Since 2020, Georgia picks have been number 3 in Will Anderson, number 1 in Trayvon Walker, number 1 in Trevor Lawrence, and number 4 in Andrew Thomas. And that streak most likely is going to come to an end this year.
Well, who's the first? Is there any indication of the first Georgia-born player will actually be in the draft?
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me, but not anticipated.
That's
to
a hell
go
of a streak
in the top five. A very impressive streak, nevertheless. 2019 was the last year in which no Tech player was drafted, and that streak most likely is going to come to an end this year. Don't say anything, Road Dog.
Sting him.
Not a word out of you. I'm just telling you that streak is on the line.
Don't do the numbers in your head now, smug. Speaking of smug, oh, were they going to get one guy drafted? we're going to have more than that in the first round. I know what you're doing. And by the way, you have the right to. I will say, you're a sidewalk alum and everything, but I do agree that you really do. You've cared about that team for a very long time. So you sort
of
have a right.
Him.
Yeah, he's also an employee.
Yeah. I've got rings.
Oh.
You and Road Dogg have that in common. Yeah. You got
he's
rings.
He's got more.
Yeah.
He's got more. I'll tell you this. I could have had one with the Falcons.
Oops. So close yet so far away. All right, when we come back, another gem almost goes to waste last night at Truist Park. We'll touch on some Braves baseball next before we talk more draft with Chuck and Chernoff there at Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort. All of that just ahead here on Cellini and Domino. Cherokee Rose Barbecue Bar and Kitchen in Stone Mountain is where we are. Fabulous food, fabulous drinks, fabulous televisions. It's all here.
What
it's the fan.
Forget about the burger.
Yeah. I said food. I mean, I think that applies to the food.
Talk about the specifics. The fries were delicious.
All right, very good. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Cellini DeVito, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. In Stone Mountain on a Thursday afternoon, Cherokee Rose Barbecue Bar and Kitchen is where we are. We'll talk to Chuck and Chernoff in about 15 minutes or so from now. They're at Harris Cherokee Casino. They'll be doing their draft extravaganza show later on tonight.
Tim, when you say that, they'll be doing a show, eating, gambling, coming back. I'm assuming, what's the rule on draft Thursday? Do you have to be in good condition if they're going to come back?
I would think so.
Yeah, you can't be hammered, right?
No.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a response.
In the old days, you could. Not nowadays. Braves get that victory last night, sweeping the Marlins. Ronald Acuna Jr. scores the game-winning run. On this date in 2018, he makes his Major League debut for the Braves. Hits his first Major League single in the eighth inning. Scores the winning run in a 5-4 win. So that's some good news on this date.
Yeah, can I?
2021 rock bottom on this date. They do go on to win the World Series, so we can laugh about it now. I was at the doubleheader against the Arizona Diamondbacks when they had a single hit.
That's true.
In two games. Zach Gallen allows one hit in game one, and Madison Baumgartner, don't forget, back then they were seven-inning doubleheaders.
Yes.
Doesn't allow a hit in seven
innings. That sounds so 2016. That was rock bottom. You know what it did, though? It inspired them.
Yeah, well, I guess.
All right, I'm gonna so you don't drive me crazy and yourself crazy. Courtesy of Ben Ingram. Lopez, first Braves pitcher since Sean Newcomb in 2018 to have four consecutive starts of six or more innings and one or fewer runs allowed.
Thank you, Ben. I heard him say that during the broadcast last night.
Doesn't
I read it
right.
Someplace this morning. Couldn't find it any place. It's been driving me crazy all show. Thank you to the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram.
So you've got
to
be the biggest idiot I've ever met.
Well, that's neither here nor there, Ben.
You know why we got the response that it did so quickly? I said, because you're driving me crazy.
Yep.
This stupid. What is this thing that he thinks you talked about? And he really did say, this is when the Newcomb thing, though, you go, whoa, we got some. This guy looks the part. He throws the part. 6 years later, I think he's with the Oakland A's. Listen to this. I think it's Alex Wood, Matt Eckler, and I were looking at it. I think Kyle Muller and Sean Newcomb are all with the Oakland A's. I don't think Newcomb's pitching. Oh, he went on the IL. That's what it was. I don't even know what his role was going to be this year, but he's on the IL of the A's.
He just, it was too much for him.
Yeah.
The pressure was just too much. But he is now in select company with Reynaldo Lopez.
That's a good one.
So it's Reynaldo Lopez and Sean Newcomb. It's also Reynaldo Lopez and Aaron Harang, because I uncovered another stat after what he was able to do last night, Reynaldo Lopez. So when you look at what he has done in his first four starts, he's the first pitcher to go at least six while allowing one run or fewer in four consecutive starts since Newcomb in 2018, like you said, and he's allowed two runs in 25 innings in four starts. Second Braves pitcher to do that, Aaron Harang, did it in five straight games in 2014. So we're bringing up Aaron Harang, yep, and we're bringing up Sean Newcomb.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the surprise ace in Reynaldo Lopez. It really has been, aside from the record, a great record, the bizarro world
sure
for the Braves thus far.
Two RBI in the month of April last year for Marcell Ozuna. He looks to, with another RBI, break the franchise record for RBIs in the month of April. Again, last year he paced. After a month of baseball, he was pacing for 12 RBI. He had two last night, the amount he had all of last April. So this is getting bizarre. Sean Newcomb's name was mentioned. Eh, I can maybe see it. With Aaron Harang, total curveball. Total curveball in terms of Aaron Harang being mentioned. And I think, and I'd have to look, I know the couple of the Philadelphia pitchers, Suarez has been good, but I think we might have just seen him seal up the National League Pitcher of the Month for the month of April last night.
And Marcell Ozuna, could he be the player of the month?
Yeah.
Offensively?
Yeah.
22 odd RBIs, number one in Major League Baseball, aside from leading baseball with those 29 RBIs overall.
Do you want a comparative? You want a comparative?
Sure.
Mike Trout has 10 home runs. He has 13 RBI. So, again, when you talk about who's offering you an opportunity, you know, what? How many opportunities do you get? What are you doing with them? What was the, it's 22 two-out RBIs?
20.
20 two-out RBIs. Mike Trout would kill for that right now.
Yeah, he would. Michael Harris sits on the fastball last night and gets the game-winning hit. He said he knew the fastball was coming. He fouls off the first one and rips the right one, or the next one, into left center field, and it was the right pitch for him because he was looking fastball. Jazz Chisholm, I'm not really sure what he was doing there. Now, he strikes out in the top of the 10th with the bases loaded. A.J. Minter gives it the old fist pump as he comes off the mound. A.J. Minter is going to join us tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
Incidentally, the all-time holds leader in Braves history.
Huzzah.
So maybe we'll have an award to give him of some sort
prior
to that series starting with the Guardians. But
do you have one of those party horn sounders, Matt Lear?
I could just do it if you want me to. But
there it is.
I'm not saying he would have caught that ball that Harris hit in the left center field, but you, do you agree? You got to take a better angle, and you got to at least try to catch it.
Go look
that.
At that record.
He was done at that point.
I think he was ready to get on.
Because you know if the ball drops, the game's over. There's no way Acuna is not scoring who's on second base.
I think he was ready to get on a plane. I do. I think he was ready to get out. I think the record and everything else. And now, look, he's a talented, exciting player. You're probably not going to get everything you want out of him there. Maybe this is part of the reason. It's like what you said about, who did you say it about? Oh, it doesn't excuse it. Who did you say that
about? Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse it, but you kind of go, boy, human nature now, unfortunately, will creep in the paycheck. We sit around on our couches and get pissed when a guy doesn't give the old 100%, 110%. But there's probably a moment where in a game or in a season you just go, wow, this is not.
And he just struck out
right
with the bases loaded, and then you got Orlando Arcia making an outstanding
defensive play
in the
game?
Ninth, and then Austin Riley in the 10th.
In the ninth, did you think they were going to win the game? I didn't.
I didn't either because they're the Marlins.
No. I thought the Braves. I thought this is the one that was going to come back and bite you finally.
I just,
all of the other stuff that's not going right, where you have the record you have,
right.
I was like, oh, they're going to give one away.
Yeah, for some reason it was the Marlins. So I just figured, knowing what I know about this team thus far, if anybody's going to find a way to lose, it's going to be the Marlins. And if anybody's going to find a way to win, it's going to be the Braves. Matt Olson, you can't let that ball go into the camera well. But it's baseball. These things happen.
Yeah. How many texts did you send me last night? If I look, was it? I know it was one.
A couple of them.
You sent me two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent me two. Two I can't read on the air.
No, you can't.
No.
You can't. I stayed calm for the most part, but I wasn't in that
moment.
What
would have to happen tonight with the Falcons pick? Who would they have to pick that you would send me that type of text?
Okay. If they draft Michael Penix, they stay at eight. It's not going to happen. But if they did, I would go on social media, I would call you, and I would say it's time to fire everybody and sell the franchise.
Interesting. You would make an appeal to Arthur Blank and 140 characters.
This is no longer for you.
I have something
better. You obviously have no idea what's going on.
I have something better. It belies your age. You're kind of old. But what I think you need to do is do a tickety-tock. Because, again, I think Twitter, you know, you can, yeah. you can, I don't
My
know.
My son can show me how to do the tickety-tock.
Yeah. Does Arthur have a, like, because you want to add Arthur Blank, but I'm not even sure he has a Twitter account. So you'd probably have to do a video to really tell everybody, what are they? They're fired.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody across the board, including Arthur Blank. I'm firing the owner.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you gotta sell the team.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a tickety-tock for Arthur Blank.
No,
he's included.
You need to fire everybody, then you need to fire yourself.
Sell the team. Sell the team.
So I believe they're going to move down.
I do, too.
So we both stand in agreement there.
Because there's real buyers behind them.
Yes.
That if four quarter. Let me ask you this. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be better than Penix. I'm reading Cam Newton. We spoke of him earlier. He says Bo Nix is the steal of the draft.
And I'm not taking a shot at Michael Penix. You don't need a quarterback.
No. I understand. Especially when somebody might give you, what's it I'm looking for? Pelts.
Draft capital.
Yeah, capital. Pelts. To move you out. Because you really have two or three who might be looking to get in front of the other guys, too. In the Raiders and Denver and Minnesota. They're all together. I would agree with you, but what if something happened like in the NBA when Luka and Trey? We don't see that. We don't see hat changing in the NFL. What if you drafted Penix and then we found out...
There's a gentleman's agreement?
Well, we found out later on in the night, you traded Penix, you're going to get whatever. It's a draft pick.
So if I trade him to the Raiders, how do I know the Raiders are going to get the guy that I want?
No. They've already done it. They drafted somebody, but now they say, we'll give you that guy. We'll give you that guy, but here's what else we're going to give you. Like, why doesn't that happen in the NFL?
I mean, it would be fascinating if it did.
Because people tell me
draft completely.
But what do they tell us in the NFL? Draft picks are gold. I don't believe that in the NBA. The NBA draft pick, you can have all of them.
And to a certain extent, going back to what you said a few days ago, draft math, the Falcons are sitting pretty because not a single, the Athletic wrote this, not a single coach or executive mocked a defensive player in the opening seven picks.
Receivers, quarterbacks, Joe Alt, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine.
Brock Bowers, maybe.
First seven. Okay.
No defensive player. So if you think these guys are all kind of equal, Mitchell, Turner, Latu, and then you move back, and one of the deals that they kind of pitched was Denver moving up from 12 to 8.
Right.
Now, this trade only has the Falcons getting a third rounder, like you said. I think next
I need
year,
more.
You got to throw me a second rounder at least
no
next
doubt.
Year.
I can't
I'm
give you a quarterback.
Down. Right.
I can't give you a quarterback and get a third rounder and drop four spots. It's not enough.
I'd hang
up the phone.
And you got to think about next year because you're going to lose a second or a third rounder.
Did
it's happening.
We played the Terry Fondo sound. I'm sorry, Matt Lear. The Terry Fondo sound when he talked about best player available. Can we have that ready? Listen, I know when I hear Pablum and word salad and we've all done it. We've all heard it where I just don't believe anything he's saying. I think I understand this one because, like Billy Devaney talked about yesterday, there's separate groups. We really need, got to kill to get that type of guy, that position. That is a luxury. We'd like it. We can't even look at it because we have so many other problems. So you tell me if this makes sense because I heard a lot of people saying he didn't make any sense in this, and I don't agree with that.
When we talk about best player available, it's best player available for us. I think sometimes when people hear best player available, they're looking at some of the experts' lists. And the key is not reaching for needs. In most cases, you got the different categories, right? You have the impact players, the elite players. You have the solid starters. You have the functional starters. You have the role players, the developmental. You have all these categories. You're going to have more than one position in that category. So now you can look at, okay, these are the players we have in this category. Let's go with the position need or the more premier position, call it.
So he's
so
talking
would
about
it be
if, you have two, if you have two players in, we really need that. You haven't graded the same. Don't go by what a guy on TV is saying the best player available is. I think that's it's two in the same position.
So for the Falcons, must have would be edge rusher.
Yes.
Must
and we talked about it with Billy. Yes.
Could be corner.
Yes.
A
and
need.
Will is a wide receiver.
Correct.
Okay. So if it's must have, and I know two of them are going to be there because the math plays out that way, that's what I think he's talking about. Now, when you're talking about going to the board, let's say you stayed at 8. Well, what if the corner, one of the edge rush guys is gone, but the best corner in the draft is still there. But if my must have is still a defensive end, I got to take the defensive end. Best player available truly might be the corner. We might have graded him as the best pro, but that doesn't fill. We don't have another pick till 43 to go get what it is we need the most. Isn't that what he's saying there?
It sounds like it after hearing Billy explain it that way as well. David Pollack was on with Buck Ballew this morning. You can hear Buck weekdays, 10 to 11. He really seems to like Dallas Turner. He said he's got that explosive first step, and he said you can teach. If he doesn't have a secondary pass rush move, you can teach that. What you can't teach is his athleticism. You can't teach his want. He's got the motor. He's got the want to play.
That's interesting.
And the want to be better. That's David Pollack now talking about Dallas
Turner. I'm going to tell you why that's interesting. Because the guy he was talking to, Buck Ballew, wants nothing to do with Dallas Turner. Nothing to do. As a matter of fact, I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, so I'm not going to say this.
Buck did ask him as a follow-up. He doesn't seem to have a secondary move. And that's when David said, I can teach that. What right. I can't teach is what he has already.
Yeah, I don't think Buck called him a sham. But I know that he said, no how, no way. And it's interesting that David Pollack, because they're having that conversation with each other, sort of went in completely the other direction.
And guys like Dallas Turner have it a lot easier than guys like David Pollack, and we'll tell you why, because David Pollack talked about being a high draft choice in Cincinnati and everybody, him taking his position group out to Morton's and them just ordering everything on the bill. He couldn't even eat anything, drink anything. Not that he drinks. He doesn't drink at all.
No, but he said he was too nervous about two things. He was so anxious watching them just keep ordering. I think he lost his appetite, or he's going to throw up on the table.
Speaking out of school, David's notoriously cheap.
Yeah, and I think
he's a special kind of cheap.
I think he thought he might throw up on the table as he's just watching them order. Then the other part was he said, I couldn't order because I couldn't afford even what I wanted. I certainly can't afford what I don't even want to add to the bill. He said, I think he said I would have hated myself if I actually added to the bill. So he got a lettuce wedge.
Because back then, you order the bottles of wine, you order the five steaks.
It's a jerk move.
Right.
It really is a jerk
move. It's not that way anymore. It's a different type of hazing. You are going to buy dinner, but we're not going to be excessive about it.
So if you're going to do position groups, there's more offensive linemen and their size. Defensive linemen and offensive linemen would be the worst. Like, you'd hope, I got to take out the wide receivers. I hope they're small, little, fast guys. Because if you have to feed a defensive line or an offensive line, can you imagine? Back in the day when they were like, yeah, we're going to stick it to you. That's part of this. We're going to stick it to you.
Like a guy like David Onyemata, how much do you think he can eat?
God.
He can probably eat five ribeyes, right?
Grady?
Grady seems like he can eat, but Onyemata seems like he's on another level.
Grady, if he wanted to.
Right.
I think Grady, steak. I don't think Grady wants pie.
That's not the vibe that I thought I was getting this morning.
Yeah. But if you told Grady he could have as much steak as he wanted, don't you think he's going to crush you when it comes to the bill?
Like a guy like Jake Matthews, I think he eats more than any offensive lineman. Although I will say Caleb McGarry, I think, can give him a serious run for his money, and he's a little bit younger. Because when you get older, that changes as well. You can't really eat as much.
I just had it happen to me. I'll give you another one. Do you know what will never be said? And most places have one of these. Petite anything. Unless you're saying I'll take seven petite filet mignons, you're not going to use the word petite. Is not, and you know what's always on the what's on the menu at most steak places, the 96 ounce, been curing for 2 years, that cow never saw the light of day.
It's like $5,000.
Yeah, exactly. This is the special cut.
Costs as much as a Volkswagen.
I just ordered a car.
So back then, they used to do that. Nowadays,
I don't think they do.
Not so much. And I still think,
go ahead,
when I asked Tyson Clable, the one-time Falcons offensive lineman around Thanksgiving, if he could eat an entire turkey, Doth protested too much. He was offended by that because I think he's eaten a whole turkey before and he wasn't willing to admit it.
Oh, there's no way he couldn't. Is that all you asked him was a turkey? He was insulted by a turkey?
He goes, I can't eat a whole turkey.
That's ridiculous.
You're getting a little too excited now.
All
due respect, I know you could stuff me in a locker, but I think you can also eat an entire turkey. In fact, I think you have.
There's no doubt he could eat a turkey.
He tried to say no.
Yeah, you didn't say a cow. Like, we're going to take a cow. We're going to make it. Yeah, he could eat a turkey.
It's amazing they let me into that locker room, some of the questions that I did ask. We'll talk to Chuck and Chernoff there at Harris Cherokee Casino. Their big draft extravaganza is tonight. How much stuff do you have to leave on the table today, Chris? The dump.
Oh, no. We're good. I'm tired. Yeah. I got allergies. I'm in a nice, comfortable chair. I got to get out of here.
Domino's clean.
Listen, hold on. Somebody wants to know, what if you traded Pitts and then drafted Bowers? You get a draft pick for Pitts. You get Bowers. The younger, healthier, less expensive, don't have to up them for a little bit.
Sign me up.
But the question is,
what are you trading? Are you trading this year's first-round pick? Or are you just trading Kyle Pitts to get their first-round pick?
You're trading Kyle Pitts so you can take Bowers, and whatever you get for Pitts, second round or third rounder, you get an extra pick. I'm replacing tight ends and getting a – so it's not worth it.
You still have so many more needs.
I know. Okay.
I think at that point,
that's fair.
You're getting a little cute at that point.
Okay.
I don't like getting cute. I like Brock Bowers. I think he's going to be an outstanding pro, but I think you roll the dice on Pitts becoming a player now and Kirk Cousins getting the best option.
I'll tell you the way that would have made sense if Kyle Pitts looked like a pro bowler for the last 2 years. And then you just said, you know what, we know there's something going on in the knee.
This draft has to start. My head's swimming. These scenarios now. My brain can't process these things.
At 8 o'clock this morning, my alarm went off. I said, finally, it's on. And I realized I set it for a.m., not p.m.
All right, Chuck and Chernoff, we'll talk to them next.
I'm cracking up.
Go back in time and get out of here. Want to thank everybody here at Cherokee Rose Barbecue Bar and Kitchen for taking care of us. If you're in the Stone Mountain area, check it out. We promise.
Please come tell Jonathan.
Yeah, you will not be disappointed. Cellini Demeanor,
where's Jonathan?
Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Thicket Broadcasting Company.
Who does number two work for?
151, wrapping up a Thursday afternoon. Cellini Domino, Stone Mountain. Beautiful Stone Mountain is where we are. Beautiful day, beautiful restaurant. Cherokee Rose Barbecue Bar and Kitchen. I want to thank them for having us.
You might have just played. You might have paid this place the biggest compliment you could pay a place. Now, you and I, again, we don't get excited about much. I'm too old to get excited. I really am. Love the burger, love the fries. What did you just say about if you live closer? What would this be?
This is in the rotation.
It's in the rotation.
And you're going to be seeing probably a lot more of me than you want to see if you're Jonathan.
Yeah.
A lot more.
So he's lucky that you live as far away as you do.
Plus, Brasas as well, his other restaurant, Fine Chicken.
Come on in. Say hello.
In Caterine. They've done a fantastic job.
Looks the part, feels the part, and then tasted the part.
Yeah, they sure treated us well here today. Chuck and Chernoff here as well. Anything you want to get off your chest?
Nah.
Nothing, huh?
Nah.
My Domino is just mailing it in the end. And
I'm tired, man.
He has lunch. He's good.
I had a big-ass burger and a bunch of fries. Ooh, I'm tired. I'm on a couch that's so comfortable. I am nuzzled with a pillow on my lap into a corner of the couch.
He really is.
I am not kidding.
Okay, roll over on your stomach and rock yourself to sleep.
I'm actually going to take a picture of him sitting
right now. Hold on.
Tonight is going to be a long night, Domino.
This is how I was sitting all day today.
Okay.
Right here. This is it. This is it.
All right, I'm going to post this.
All right, so
this, by the way, after he was, dead ass asleep yesterday on the couch at about 4:30 in the studio.
Yeah, because he doesn't sleep.
No, but I'm also going to tell you guys something. This is God's honest truth. I've been embarrassed for the last month to look at anybody when I talk to him. I look so high. These allergies. No. I went into Bochy's office, and I said, wow, man, I almost feel like telling him, hey, Boch, I'm really not high. I'm on the field. I'm talking to Braves executives.
Yeah.
And my head is down. I'm just like, man, I look so buzzed. Not even buzzed.
Mm-hmm.
I look smashed high.
Well, Vic, I would tell you, and I would add to this, yesterday at about 4:30, in the hallway outside of our office.
Yeah.
It smelled like everybody 700 old at their high school. Like, I'm talking, it wasn't a joint. It was a bowl.
David
like,
Dickey, somebody just lit up. David Dickey commented. We ran each other into in the hallway. He's like, I said, yeah. I said, that's not one person smoking.
No.
There were a couple of people smoking in the hallway in our building. That's illegal.
Yep.
I think that's illegal, too. I think it's a smoke-free zone, as they say.
So you ready for the big draft extravaganza tonight?
I am ready. I know nothing that's going to happen. I read everything I can from every one of these insiders, and they all say something different. One says chaos tonight. Another says quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. Another one says 6 quarterbacks in the top 12. Another one, I mean, like, who knows what the hell is going to happen?
Let's play this like the big board that I'm sure you're looking at right now, right? You're looking at the big board?
Sure.
Okay. I asked Nick. It's a minus 110. The Falcons pick 8th. Which way are you playing it?
I would always bet on them to stay where they are.
Yeah, they move up. They have zero history of an Arthur Blank-owned Falcons team. Zero history of trading back and acquiring more resources.
So I would also add,
then it shouldn't be minus 110 then with that piece of information.
Yeah, but I
could actually make money on this bet because I think they are going
to
move back.
See, I would always add, I would bet for everybody to stay still. Because like betting the trade in the draft is like taking insurance at blackjack. It's such a like low percentage that it happens for a lot of teams. But I bet if you looked at the last 20 drafts for every team, I bet they stayed where they were initially 17 times, 18 times.
I would have normally... This draft intrigues me more than any in the last 10 years because I can honestly say it feels like chalk. Like I've always said, I'll bet $1,000 that these guys can't get... I think I've always said 4 right in the first 12. Like
well, that
put
might
the guy
be
in the right
this
spot.
Year.
This year seems like there's a lot of chalk.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued, and I think I know more of the players, and it's quarterback-driven, and then it's wide receiver-driven. My team, who I think has gotten better in the offseason, could actually get better tonight in the draft with maybe an extra pick either coming this weekend or for next year.
Let's play it out this way, because none of us know what they're going to do. Coming up at 3:20, I'll tell you what I think they're going to do. But let me ask you guys, what would make Falcon fans the happiest at 8?
Oh, Dennis Barkley. I think a pass rusher would be really happy.
See, I think that's
Malik
the one.
Neighbors.
Yeah. See, I don't think the wide receiver. I think the wide receiver is going to divide people.
If they take a pass rusher, are they going to be satisfied with the pass rusher too? I mean,
No. I think for Dallas Turner,
maybe I'm thinking too much. Like the way my brain is wired, I'm still thinking about the mistakes that rushers
of course
passed.
You are. And that's
but he's
fair.
An Alabama guy, and I think that helps. I think it does.
And
he's an SEC
SOB
guy
too.
Right, he's
really
not a Boise State.
No,
with all due respect.
Pollard pumped him up this morning.
Sure did.
He was on with Buck Belue. So I guess to answer the question, what percentage of fans would be the happiest? Yeah, edge rusher would be.
What?
But even then, there would be division.
Matt, can I ask? Let me reword it.
All right.
What would make you, by the player, the most excited at 8? Because I have a guy in mind that I think would excite me the most at 8, but it doesn't mean it's the right pick.
I'm not giving you like a cop-out answer here, Chris. I'm with Nick that I have such little faith in that outfit that, like, to Chuck's point, Malik Nabers might be the best player on the board at that point.
Right.
I just can't live with another wide receiver. Because...
So you don't think you could get juiced about Marvin Harrison
or
Nabers?
Sure, I'd get juiced about it, but then what would happen is my mind would go to September the 23rd when the Falcons are up 28-24, and when they can't get stops late in games, we're all going to think back to April the 25th and think, I'm glad we're juiced for the receiver. At some point, you do have to dedicate high-quality assets to defensive people.
So Joe Alt
the right defensive people.
Joe Alt doesn't
be nice.
Do anything for you either, right?
Who was that?
Joe Alt?
No.
I mean, I would in other circumstances, but I can live with the Falcon tackles. Okay. I don't think they're great, but I think they're good enough that I can't. And it's the same reason I don't want to get a wide receiver at 8. I can get a wide receiver in round 2 or 3 that
Brian
I think.
Brian Thomas, too, later on in the first. Or
well, there was Chuck. There was a Brian Thomas to the Falcons at 8. That was predicted. That's what I'm saying. This
is a bit much.
This is all over the board. I would just say to you guys, because this is such a deep wide receiver draft, if I can get my pass rusher, then corner, if pass rusher's not there at 8, then in the second round, attack wide receiver.
What do you think about third round, like a Ricky Pearsall?
Fine, absolutely. Because, how much is he going to get action with all the pieces?
You hope not a whole lot.
Will they stay at 8? Because I don't. I don't think they stay at 8.
Yeah, Matt does. Matt both,
that's
they
not,
both
Chris,
stay,
I don't think they
stay.
I'm just saying you asked me to bet it. I would never bet on the trade just because it's such low percentage and so many things happen.
But betting aside, do you think they stay?
Yeah, I think they stay.
GMs and coaches change. The owner hasn't, and you do what the boss says you're going to do. And they don't take the long-range approach where we accumulate assets, they go for, I mean, grand slams on draft day.
Chris, here's why I think they stay, by the way. You only are willing to move back three or four or five spots, right, theoretically.
But you have dealers behind them who want your spot.
The Rams at 19 supposedly are now in play to try to move up. The Eagles have called three or four teams trying to move. That's too far back if you're the Falcons, unless you just get a godfather deal that they overpay.
Denver seems to be the team to me.
The Raiders, maybe Minnesota.
So, okay, let's play that out for a minute. Because who's the piece they want then?
Denver?
Any of them. Give me Denver, give me Raiders, Penix, or give me Minnesota.
I keep thinking Penix fits in Denver.
I don't think you have to trade up to 8 to get him.
Okay, I don't know, though.
Or just J.J. McCarthy.
Maybe you have to trade up to get McCarthy, but there's a chance a lot of this smoke through these several months is going to be just that smoke. Now, the Giants are the one that we have to watch at 6. There's a very strong chance they take the quarterback. So let's say it's McCarthy. Now you're left with Penix and Nix, who I both believe will be gone in the top 15 picks. Yeah. I just don't know if I have to give up a bunch to move up.
Here's the last thing, and I don't know what's possible because I haven't really looked. To get back into the first round,
yeah.
I think one of the problems is I think we're losing a second-round pick next year with all this Kirk Cousins stuff. I do. What do you have to trade to get out of 43 to move up to 30-31? I don't know the answer.
You think so?
Maybe. No, I can't give you next year. Yeah. So here's the thing with next year's one, and I'm glad you said that. This is my thought is
next year's one will get you two in this year's draft.
You have to believe that you're not going to be picking in the top 20. Like, you have to believe you're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. If I'm willing to give up next year's one, you're telling me by your action that
does everybody
action.
Know it's a quarterback? Because then there's a premium, brother.
So I would say this. If I'm picking at 43 for the Falcons and I want to get back to 31.
For a QB instance, or not?
I'll say a QB.
Okay.
I would think a second and a third could move you up.
Mm, okay.
Unless I believe that I'm a playoff team this upcoming year, mm-hmm, and I'm not picking until past 20. Because that, I'm telling you, my thought is that action, if they ever gave up next year's number one, they're telling you flat out, we are not picking in the top 20.
So let's circle back. Now ask me what I want. Yeah, I'd love the Falcons to drop back to 11, pick up Minnesota's second first-round pick, then maybe pick up another asset and attack some things that way. Because as we sit here today, and I'm a dog with a bone on this. They have so many defensive holes. Last year was an improvement, but last year wasn't real. The DVOA on last year's defense was number 24. And as that season played out, the defense got worse and worse, or more realistically, they regressed back to what they were. So
we
now
need something at every level. That's the bad part. That,
Chris, you need two starting edges. You need a starting corner. I think you need an upgraded safety.
Need a linebacker.
About all of that. You're right about every bit of that.
I think
they may take the tackle, Byron Murphy.
I think they're a bottom 10 defense as we sit here today.
Never even said tackle. That may be the pick.
I said 2 days ago, he was the 12th different guy, tackle out of Texas at 8. He was the 12th different guy that I had seen in mock drafts the Falcons taking. I literally kept count. He was the 12th different name that I heard people who supposedly do this for a living put at number 8, not drop back, put at number 8 for the Falcons.
There's
since all
the
started.
There's a thought that he's the best defensive lineman in the draft. He's the best defensive player in the draft, but he's a tackle.
And it would make sense. Listen, Grady's 31 off an ACL. Onyemata's 32. You're going to have to address it sooner rather than later. And if we believe Terry and he's lived up to this, they don't give a about the position. They're going to take the player that they deem the top of their board. If that's Murphy, that would not be a shock.
I think the only given is Caleb Williams going number one. I still think Marvin Harrison's going four to Arizona.
Yep, agreed.
But
you don't think Daniels is going to the Commanders?
I do. I think I do.
I think if I had to pick one certainty, it's going to be Caleb Williams.
Well, let me ask you this.
He's there already.
Is New England the best option to get out, or do they just take the it might be their first best quarterback, but the third quarterback themselves?
If I'm New England and I'm sitting there and there's a quarterback that I like, why would I move out?
I think it's chalk to 5, and
agreed,
then at that point, stuff starts to happen.
I think 5 is the pivot point in the draft of whether the Chargers go offensive tackle for Herbert, or they take the best wide receiver that's not named Marvin Harrison.
So, Matt, here's what I would say about New England at 3, though. What if they really wanted J.J. McCarthy, and you can drop back to 6? Because you don't think at 4 Arizona's taking a quarterback.
So, but you can't drop back to 6 because that's the Giants, Chris, and they want a quarterback. So that's what I'm saying. You have to.
No, but I'm saying you can't drop back further.
Yeah,
like if then you're getting into that territory of.
But you got. Let's say you go to 5. Why would the Chargers want to move up? Like, the trade thing is a fun thing for sports talk and NFL insiders. It's so damn hard to pull these things off. because you got to have the want and then the comp and then it's got to work out. It's
do I have information or am I just biased? Because I'm about to say, and I don't have confidence in the Falcons front office to hoodwink another franchise for the full haul they should get for number eight.
We've never seen it.
I don't think I have enough information, but I've never seen them attempt to do this. Like moving back for 20 or to 18 or 17, so, you better get a pile of stuff.
Guys, I think the good news is at least they're trying, right? This Michael Penix smokescreen of Schefter had it and Jeremy Fowler.
Taking calls.
That's all the Falcons, you know, putting it out there. We're interested in Penix. They're not interested in eight in Michael Penix. So let's see if we can drum up interest if somebody gets a little bit nervous that he might not be there at 11 through 13. That might be their best play.
The beauty is we'll know tomorrow.
Thank God. And
we'll hopefully be talking about a home run hit by the Falcons. But
going back
to the original point, there's going to be somebody that's going to be dissatisfied. A certain percentage of the Falcons.
Do you know what Nick said to me before the show started today? He actually straight-faced him. He says, well, finally, we'll be done with mock drafts. I said, no, because there's going to be a second-round mock draft.
Course.
There's going to be a third
the
round.
Of the rest. You're right.
Yeah, it's just going to be much more stuff.
Nick, I've got news for you. What's the news for you? And you should be up here by tomorrow night, Harris Cherokee, Rain, a Beatles tribute band playing tomorrow night.
Truth.
Yep, Harris Cherokee. Big buzz around Rain up here. So you could be here in a couple of hours, and you get the draft, and you get the Caesar Sportsbook, and you get all the other stuff. Like, this is a no-brainer.
They found a left-handed bassist with sort of a British accent.
Well, I'll tell you a really weird story. Years ago, I'm not sure if it was Rain, the Beatles cover band, but we had at Radio Korea a Beatles cover band in studio with us, and I had an Indians, Cleveland Indians, as they were known at the time, shirt on, and the guy playing Paul, when the microphone was on, spoke in the British accent. Yeah. And then we took a break, and he said, where are you from in Cleveland? I'm from Cleveland, too. And we started talking about the Indians.
He became Michael Stanley.
All of a sudden, I got Paul McCartney from the Fever Dream talking to me about the Beatles.
You thought he was from Liverpool?
Yeah. You fooled me. Anyway, today is the 25th of April. We are going back in time.
Yeah.
25th of April, some things that happened on this day in history. 1980 on this date, A's manager Billy Martin is restrained by umpires from attacking a fan.
The winning is really all of it. If there's such a thing as a good loser, why do we keep score? There should no such a thing as a good loser. I don't even like to see a high school coach, a junior high school coach, or a grammar school coach saying losing is good. No, be a hard loser, but be a smart loser.
If you have time, I'm sure a lot of you have watched it already. Watch the Sports Century. It's a two-parter, maybe a three-parter.
Yeah, you forgot about it.
Billy Martin. You can't make up. I know I say this all the time, but you really can't make up Billy Martin's story. So he fights his way out of New York, and then he bounces around the major leagues, and then becomes eventually the manager of Minnesota, wins there, but because ownership hates him and he fights, gets fired. Goes to Detroit, same deal, wins, shows up at game 5 of the league championship series, bombed, makes a couple of bad decisions, gets fired there. Goes to Texas, wins there, gets fired there, goes to New York, and we know what happened in New York.
Got to remember, goes to prison, gets Ron LaFleur out of prison because a drinking buddy said, hey, this guy I know in prison, and that's how Ron LaFleur made it because of a drinking buddy with Billy Martin.
It's game 5 against the A's when he's in Detroit, the world champion A's defending their title. He has a catcher with a bad thumb. Nobody knows where he is the entire day of game 5. He shows up cockeyed, and he puts a catcher with a bad thumb behind home plate, and he puts his everyday catcher in left field, and he benches Willie Horton, possibly his best hitter. That's what he did, so he got fired there. I mean, it's beyond bizarre.
Then he ends up managing Oakland and the whole thing about how many arms did he ruin.
Yeah.
Now, his son, who I did speak to, Billy Martin Jr., and there's a book out, Baseball's Flawed Genius. Chuck, we were talking about it.
Yep.
He says if you ask the Oakland guys, they all wanted to pitch. It was the time where you could maybe finally start getting money, and back then, it's 1980, what do you do? I'm going to pitch till my arm falls off to show everybody I'm a dude, I'm a guy. And it really ended up backfiring for a couple of
years. He had Ricky Henderson there and
Tony Armas, Dwayne Murphy.
Jeff Newman was one of his slower players, and he had Henderson at one point on third. He had Jeff Newman on first, who led off and then pretended to stumble. And then as the pitcher was distracted looking over to first, he had Ricky Henderson steal home.
Yeah.
I mean, these were the type of things he was doing.
Probably thought about it, too, all offseason.
What a great time to have that kind of personality. See, we have all these guys today who are, you know, robots. Like, the closest thing we had, and it's not the same, but remember how we received Ozzie Guillen in this era of, like, personality and a little nutty and over the line. You can't do that. Billy Martin wouldn't exist today because no owner would be able to handle it.
He took the highest paid player in baseball out of the game, out of right field in the middle of the game.
And that fought just, with him, or at least tried to in the dugout.
In the dugout, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Well, he also had a bottle on his desk when you went in there postgame.
Was it a marshmallow salesman?
He had a bottle on the desk.
A marshmallow salesman. That's made up.
Yep. You're right.
Elevator fights. I think there were at least two documented elevator fights.
2006, Columbia Records releases Bruce Springsteen's 14th studio album, We Shall Overcome, the Seeger Sessions. A tribute to folk music pioneer Pete Seeger.
Go ahead.
Who bought this?
Go ahead, do it.
Why would you think?
I told you.
I know.
Tunnel of Love, that's it. Done with Springsteen after that.
You're wrong a little bit because The Rising is an incredible album.
All right,
you're wrong
if you say so.
Yeah, and there was some stuff.
This didn't help.
No. This would. Listen, if
let's
I'm. Let's
everybody get together and sing some horrible music. Horrible, horrible, horrible music. Why don't you just have those be
I can't
lyrics?
Believe you're not bringing up something from our past.
Oh, whoa.
That's good for you.
What is this?
Well, someone tried to pump up the album.
Why?
And Chris said, this is a horrible album.
Who did that?
Why?
And he said, this is the music of Pete Seeger. And Domino responded with, give me one Pete Seeger song. And the response was, it's Pete Seeger.
He said, Night Moves. That's Bob Seeger.
Yeah.
And that's a classic.
You made
there,
me
buddy.
Do that, Domino. You made me do that.
I had buddies who saw him, and this is God's honest truth, in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He's from New Jersey. He's in New Brunswick. Beautiful theater. It's like a small version of the
Listen
Fox.
Listen to this.
I know. But here's what he said.
It won't end.
Here's what he said. He sort of okey-doke people in that they would come to see Springsteen, but it was going to be like an acoustic-y type, whatever. He actually told them, when a couple of people started applauding, when an intro to a song came out, I said, these songs were written in silence. They should be heard in silence.
Right.
And my buddies were like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Yeah, they were so angry. So,
how about you play Prove It All Night?
But we all agree, like, the Springsteen fan, like the guy you were referring to, it didn't matter what he put out. It's, you know, my daughters made me listen to this Taylor Swift album, like, every day going to school. I don't know why it's something these Swifties love, because I don't think it's very good, but it doesn't matter. They're so invested that the Springsteen people, he could have farted into the mic and it was going to be good.
Anything with a banjo, for the most part.
Well, this is also that movie with George Clooney. You think this all sounds
absolutely.
Like anyway.
What do you got there? Get on stage. A banjo there? Smash it like Belushi.
Soggy
there
Bottom
you
Boys.
There's your banjo.
It's the Soggy Bottom Boys.
2009 on this date, Matthew Stafford goes number one overall to the Lions.
With the first pick in the 2009 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Matthew Stafford.
There's always people booing. What are you booing? What are you booing for?
Is this your anniversary?
This is my anniversary. Me and Matt Stafford share an anniversary.
I ditched that draft broadcast to go to your wedding and reception.
Well, we were updating people on the draft. We had Trip West was our DJ. He was cutting in during the ceremony by telling people who was going off the board. We had the ESPN music playing.
So I got a buddy who lives in Detroit now, and he said the town is going crazy. It's perfect timing. Detroit, they're out of sort of their depression. Mm-hmm. The Lions are good. It's 300,000 people up there spending their money, having a good time in Green Bay next year. But in May, 26 and 27, the draft. I'm assuming, right, Atlanta's pitching to have the draft here?
Yes and no. I mean, because we're a Super Bowl city, it's a little bit different. I would ask the question, where is Green Bay going to put 300,000 people?
I thought they were talking about doing it.
Everybody around the neighborhood, we're going to house 10.
Like, it's in the middle, literally, of a neighborhood. Where are you going to put
them? Yeah. What?
10 are going to stay in my attic. 10 are going to stay downstairs in my basement.
Come one, come all.
Are you asking accommodation? Or are you asking
where are they going to get 300,000 people?
Well, let's say the theory continues of people traveling to the draft and it's an event. They don't have the hotel space unless you're going to stay in Milwaukee and schlep over.
You know, it's like having it in Macon.
Chicago.
Like you have to bring people in to get to 300,000.
Yeah, you got to do it in Chicago.
But Chris,
that's a good question.
Would Atlanta like it? I guess, but I think at some point they're going to, unless you have a new stadium, going to try to separate the Super Bowl rotation from the draft rotation.
So this is your wedding anniversary. I did not realize that.
Celebrating happy, your Harris Cherokee.
Happy anniversary to you and Becky. I was in the wedding, those wedding photos. I look like I'm security.
You do. You looked very agitated. It's you got the resting B face. You just got, like, it's either I don't want to be here or I don't want to be here. One of those two faces.
It's just my face.
Well, that's it was draft night.
Not much I can do.
I mean, it was draft night. He was wondering who the Browns were going
to be. Not to mention the fact Carrie was about ready to burst. She was pregnant with Nico.
Yeah, so. It was not great planning on our part.
Yeah, I mean, think of the children.
Nice spread, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, everything was great. Harry Belafonte passed away on this date. This is him.
Too easy.
A lot of people don't realize
it. Cheap.
Well, what would you have done instead?
Don't try to uncheapen this.
I mean, this is him, is it not?
You could have had him picking up his Academy Award.
Worth $30 million.
Wow.
When he passed away at the age of 96.
Okay.
I blew it on this one. B. Arthur passed away on this date. 2009. Gone but not forgotten is B. Arthur.
I thought you were connecting those two dots.
Who knows?
I thought you were stalling to try to get some B. Arthur.
Maybe there's
that was not highlighted.
No, you're right. I blew it. Bobby Boris Pickett.
No.
Passed away on this date.
Yeah. What age did B die at?
She was 86.
And what was she worth, does it say?
$25
million. Oh,
wow.
She must have said, Norman Lear might have caught her.
Points there.
Yeah,
between Maude and
the Golden Girls.
She roughed
Golden
him up Girls. After the first contract,
25?
And then he came around.
Golden Girls probably was a good payday, I guess.
In the 80s, though? That kind of, wow. All right, sorry, Nick.
It's probably on every place in the world at some point, right? Maybe you get a piece of that?
Yeah, maybe.
This is one of Domino's favorite songs, Monster Mash, Bobby Boris Pickett.
Do it, let me hear it.
It kind of sounds like Domino, ironically. At least the way I imitate it.
Never, like, these things don't work. I mean, honestly,
to my surprise, did the match. The Monster Mash.
Monster Mash.
I ain't
Graveyard
not
Smash.
How much money do you think he makes every year with this? The family does. The estate does. What do you think? They make $50,000?
It's an annuity.
Right.
I don't have a net worth for Bobby Boris Pickett.
I didn't have one.
That's the way he did it.
What angers you more, this or Rocky Horror Picture Show, those dances?
So, I guess my real question would be, this one seems pretty easy to write. He did it.
Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
I give him credit. I didn't do it. He did it. But if there's like a check for more than $50,000 every year, I'm the idiot. Like, I understand. I'm the idiot. If this is paying a bill.
You got to see the performance he does back in the 60s.
You keep telling me this. I won't.
He's got a suit on and he's kind of making a monster face.
Simpler times.
Do the whole thing. Left Eye Lopez passed away on this date in 2002. Only 30 years old.
Yeah.
When she
2002?
I didn't realize she was that young.
Tortured soul.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah, she was emotional.
It's a wonderful band, though.
Or so that is famous more so for the fire.
Yeah, oh, my God. Turn on Channel 5.
My extended family knows her for that every bit as much as the record.
Do people like it for the younger folk listening? She burned all of Andre's shoes. Like, for those who wanted to know what happened.
Well, that's how it started.
Yeah, supposedly. So she said she threw it into one of those plasticky tubs.
Right.
Right. She said she threw burning sneakers and shoes into a tub that was made out of a plasticky type material. She didn't think it was going to catch on fire.
Has she never heard about, like, burning tires or things like that? Like, they just keep burning?
Then, Matt, what happened? We had helicopters over the houses.
Yep.
Flames were coming through the roof.
Our friend Jeff Hollinger.
Jeff Hollinger, yes.
Sitting outside as Andre's on the curb. And then he went back to her. How good was it that he went back to her? Mm. Like, how they did the two Fs better than anybody if he went back. He went back.
He signed a contract in Cleveland. What did we do the day he signed that contract? He won't last up there. It's cold. I know he played at Michigan State, but we were like, he had it nice down here.
Eric Zier has some great Andre Rison stories. I'll let him tell the
story. Here's my question now. I want you guys to think about this.
Because he was up there with Andre.
Who had a more explosive fighting history? Halle Berry, David Justice, or Andre and Left Eye?
No, Andre and Left Eye.
I mean, she burned his house down.
Yeah, Andre and Left Eye.
She went.
So I heard stories from somebody who knew David at the time that said the Halle David stuff got public when they were out in Atlanta nights and people saw them just, like, in the days before cell phones and stuff.
Yeah, there was knockdown dragouts with them in parking lots and stuff.
I mean, apparently Halle is a pistol. So that you guys are probably right, but don't undervalue what.
Well, now, hang on. As far as monetary value, she burned down a house.
Yeah,
but it was the word around the campfire was. I mean, you didn't even have to pay attention, and you heard that stuff.
All right, let's end with this. Al Pacino's birthday is today. He's 84.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers.
Oh,
I say that's the bad guy. So, what I make you?
say goodnight to the bad guy.
For those who don't know, that's from Sea of Love.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
One of his great. Now, did he just have a kid or was it De Niro?
They both did.
No, they both did.
Adopt or actually?
No. That's they say they made him.
Al said, hoo-ah, here comes another baby.
So, Adam Gillespie, we'll leave with this. He is sending me something that says, Billboard magazine says Monster Mash earns over $350,000 annually from the master. He has publishing, so if people do anything around the song, the family gets it, which means it could earn a combined $1 million annually.
No way.
What a world. I don't think so either.
But where? Can't be right.
Like, people are not downloading the song. Kids aren't.
Like, this has got to be wrong.
I want to see the figures on this.
Why, if this is true, why isn't anybody else?
You
want
to crunch the numbers? I do. I'd like to analyze.
So, I know you wouldn't be first to the party. Why has nobody else written a second Halloween song?
I would bet you it's like some of the Christmas songs, Mariah Carey, whoever, they get broke off every December.
Yeah, but people are buying that stuff. Like, Mariah hit number one again because people
downloading it. There's like six songs that you can get if you're going to put together a Halloween playlist. This is one of them. You have to have it.
You think there's six? I don't know of another one. I'm telling you that it seems if idiots are still buying this, why don't you give them something newer to buy? Like, do another Halloween song.
What are the Halloween songs?
There isn't one. This is the point. If this is making $1 million a year, shouldn't somebody be working on a second Halloween song?
All right, here you go. These are listed as the best Halloween songs. Monster Mash at the top. Thriller, I Put a Spell on You. Zombie, Highway to Hell, Psycho Killer.
Okay. They're not Halloween songs.
No.
This is specifically designed for Halloween.
Right. Somebody should work on a Halloween song, dude. Pardon, dude.
I'm going to get
on Chain, Vampires, Bay, and Hound.
I want to thank Scott Braun, host of Foul Territory, the great podcast, for joining us today. Brandon Harper, Taquan here on site, back in the studio. Matt Lear and Derek Thomas and Adam Gillespie, Brian Gebhard and Cullen Madden.
We had a few guys stop in. Thank you for saying hello. I want to thank Jonathan, the proprietor here at Cherokee Rose as well.
Beautiful Stone Mountain, beautiful restaurant. If you're in the area, come on by. You will not be disappointed. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We are back tomorrow to talk about the Falcons and the draft at 11 o'clock. Chiellini DiVino, the Fan, 680. 93.7 FM.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.